And thanks to those who download these talks podcasts from iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by emails at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank those who become members. We couldn't do what we would do without your help and support. I'm still a little out of breath from that kirtan. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today we'd like to talk to you about raising your expectations. Too many people let their uncontrolled thoughts keep them from getting out of the starting blocks of life. I'll never get out of debt. I'll never lose this weight. The economy's probably going to sink my business. My marriage is never going to last. Your own thoughts will set the limits for your life. Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Can everyone see these pictures here? This is Nick Djukovic, who was born without arms and legs, on a surfboard. Behind him is Bethany Hamilton. I'll tell you their stories. Nick, in spite of his disability, in spite of having no arms and no legs, is the author of a best-selling book, Life Without Limbs, Life Without Limits. It's subtitled, Inspiration for a Ridiculously Good Life. He's one of the most sought-out motivational speakers in the world. He's got a drop-dead beautiful wife and two great-looking boys. He markets a DVD for young people called No Arms, No Legs, No Worries. We lived in Australia for 5 years, so that no worries, that's definitely a down under saying. Usually it's no worries, mate. The young lady of 24 years old who's behind him on the surfboard without a left arm, her name is Bethany Hamilton. She was, at the age of 13, she was out in the surf in Hawaii dangling her left arm over the edge of her surfboard and a shark came and took it. Now if that had happened to you or me, how soon would it have been before we'd dared to even get in the water again, if ever? How soon would it have been before we, if ever, ever resumed surfing? In her case, she was out surfing 3 weeks later with one arm. In 2014, she took first place in the Surf and Sea Pipeline Contest. Also in 2014, she won the SSA Junior Championships. In 2009, she was second place in the World Junior Championships. 2002, she was first place in the National Championships. She's the author of an autobiographical work called Soul Surfing, and there's a film of the same name. What's our excuse? Can't get out of debt. I don't feel so well today. No. Taking their cue, we should each and every day jump out of bed, count our blessings, and expect great things to come our way. Favors to be bestowed upon me. Blessings chasing me down. To think that no obstacle, no obstruction, no disability is too big to keep me from my God-given destiny. Prabhupada, our spiritual master, writes this in his purports to the Srimad Bhagavatam. We should know in perfect consciousness that human life is bestowed upon the conditioned soul to achieve spiritual success, and the easiest possible procedure to attain this end is to chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When we chant this mantra, which is comprised of names of God, Krishna means all attractive, Rama means the highest pleasure absolute, and Hare is an invocatory term, we are programming ourselves for victory. You will become what you believe. If you believe that you'll always be heavy, you'll always be heavy. If you believe that you'll never break that addiction, you've had it since high school, you'll never be clean. If you believe that you're not attractive, then people will see you as not attractive. If you believe you're not talented, people will see you that way. If you don't think you have much to offer, people also will think that you don't have that much to offer. Our message today is, why not take all that energy which is used for negativism and use the same amount of energy, turn it around, and start programming your mind for victory? We do so by associating with the Lord through his holy names. Another name for Krishna is Vijaya. That means who is unconquerable, who is invincible, who is never defeated. When we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, and associate with the Lord in that way, we assume his qualities. And Krishna furthermore assures us in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, by my grace you will overcome all the obstacles of material life. Material nature is described in the 7th chapter, 14th verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Devi hiyashu gunamayi matam maya darachaya. Darachaya means very, very difficult to cross. We are plopped down in the middle of a vast material cosmos of earth, air, fire, water, mind, intelligence, and false ego, in which birth, death, disease, and old age are the rule of the day. If you were in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, you would never, ever be able to swim your way to safety, to shore. Similarly, we don't have the abilities to extricate ourselves from this samsara, this ocean of birth and death. With the Lord of millions and millions and millions and millions of universes assisting us, he who created, he's in control, earth, air, fire, water, mind, intelligence, and false ego, then we can very easily cross over that ocean of birth and death. And he shrinks that uncrossable ocean in terms of difficulty by his grace. That ocean shrinks down to the length and breadth of the amount of water which seeps into the imprint of a calf's hoof in the field, which you can very, very easily cross over. But we're here this afternoon to negate your low expectations. The Buddha said, what we think, we become. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make the world. How many people do you know program their mind to expect failure, to expect mediocrity, to expect ill health? They rehearse it. They go over it in their mind 1,000 times. I'll never get well. My grandmother died of the same thing. And your mind gets to work then making sure that that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Your mind then makes sure that you never get well. It makes sure that the swelling increases. It makes sure that there's more pain. It makes sure that there's more discomfort for you. How many people go around feeling insecure, intimidated, unqualified? The mind goes to work and then gives instructions to make sure he's slow, she's clumsy, he makes mistakes. What's the problem? We're programming ourselves for defeat. The mind is working perfectly, helping us to become what we think. If it's not controlled and harnessed to take us higher, it becomes our worst enemy. My plea to you today is, do not tell this incredible tool that God has given us, this command center to release defeat, to release poison, to release failure, to release mediocrity. The good news is that if this will work in the wrong direction, it'll also work in the right direction. We can program ourselves to think of ourselves as well-equipped, able, empowered. From her birth in 1920, it looked as if Wilma Rudolph would go through life as a loser, as a non-starter. Born premature at 5 months, she had double pneumonia twice. I think that's 4 times altogether. Scarlet fever. She had a bout with polio in her infancy, which left her with a left crooked leg and a foot twisted inward. But she was determined not to let her mind get the better of her, to let her mind get in the way of her dreams. Her mother often said, honey, the most important thing in life is for you to believe in a great destiny and keep on trying. In the 1940 Olympics track and field, she broke 3 world records and she was the first woman to win 3 gold medals. She shared a remarkable story with the world in 1977 with her autobiography, and her book was later turned into a television film. In the 1980s, she was inducted into the United States Olympic Hall of Fame and established the Wilma Rudolph Foundation to promote amateur athletics. In 2004, the United States Postal Service honored this Olympic champion by featuring her likeness on a 23-cent stamp. She is remembered as one of the fastest women in track and as a source of great inspiration for generations of Afro-American female athletes. Guard your mind. Get your command center sending out the right instructions. I'm not going to send out what I feel. I'm not going to send out what my circumstances are telling me. I'm not going to send out what other people are saying about me. I'm going to believe what Krishna says about me in the Bhagavad Gita, that I'm blessed, that I'm strong, that I'm healthy, that I'm well able. Those are the things that I'm going to program into my computer. I'm going to think thoughts of victory. Well, someone says, true, it doesn't look like I'm blessed, doesn't look like I'm healthy. Here's the key. You got to believe it before you see it. Prabhupada says this, real independence means complete faith in the mercy of the Lord without dependence upon the conditions of matter. That's what faith is all about. Once you see it, then you don't need faith anymore. I may not be able to see how I can get out of debt. I may not be able to see how I'm going to get healthy again. But I walk by faith and not by sight. If Krishna said it, I may not see it, but I believe it. If he said it, it's good enough for me. And again, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says many things about us, both in the present and in the past. But because he says them, it doesn't mean we can sit on the couch with our big gulps and they'll automatically happen or drop into our lap. No, we have to do our part and get into agreement with God. In other words, you may not feel blessed today. There may be a lot of things coming against you, with your family, with your finances. Your mind could easily talk you out of it, but you've got to dig in your heels and say, no way, I'm going to let these things dampen and depress my day. I am blessed. You have to be bold enough to say, Krishna, if you say I'm blessed, then I am blessed. When you get in agreement with Krishna like that, it allows him to release the promises which already have your name on them. He can pull them from the unseen spiritual realm to the seen physical realm. Again, a quote from Prabhupada. The mind is not to be killed. Mind or desire cannot be stopped. But to develop a desire to function for spiritual realization, the quality of engagement by the mind has to be changed. The mind is the pivot of the active sense organs. And as such, if the quality of thinking, feeling, and willing is changed, naturally the quality of actions by the instrumental senses will also change. Here's a little exercise that might be helpful. Imagine a crown on your head, a crown of favor, not a crown of defeat, of lack, of mediocrity, a crown of Krishna's favor. To get this crown of favor, you can't drag around thinking, why do I always get the short end of the stick? Why do I always get bad breaks? Nothing good is in store for me. When those thoughts come, you need to reach up and adjust your crown of favor. Now, you don't have to pray for something that you already have. Just act as if it were true. You're talented, you're strong, you're redeemed, and you're not going to be strong, talented, redeemed one day, not in the sweet by and by, but you are already more than a conqueror. Government warehouses have shelves of unclaimed cash, bonds, coins, antiques, worth millions and millions of dollars, and each and every one of those assets has someone's name on them. But the person whose name is on those, if they're unaware of it, then it doesn't do them any good. If some or other they become aware, they don't have to do anything in order to take possession of those items. All they have to do is show up at the claims window, show their proof of ID, and automatically accept their own property. For them, there's no will call, there's no late charges, there's no shortages, it's not limited to the first 100 people. The nature of God's warehouse is that the more you claim, the more determined you are to go in there and get everything, peace with your name on it, prosperity with your name on it, compassion with your name on it, great kids with your name on it, advancement with your name on it, that book with your name on it, that temple with your name on it. The more determined you are to literally go in there and plunder everything that has your name on it, the paradox is the more you take out, the more it fills up. Once you write that first book, ideas for two or three more books pop up. Once you give that first sermon on this particular theme, while you're preparing that, ideas and themes for three or four other sermons come about. Once you start that first temple, then opportunities open up for a second or third temple. On a trip to India in 2007, I was down at Tirupati. We were going to go up the coast by trains and buses to Bhubaneswar. The president of the ISKCON Tirupati temple there, named Ravati Raman, he said, why don't you stop in this mid-sized coastal town named Rajamundry on the way up and visit my brother-in-law? He's just opened a beautiful temple there. So I said, sure, that sounded great. I went there. It's a beautiful temple, similar to this temple. It cost about $3 million to build it. The only difference between this temple and that temple is that it's pink. So I got to know Satya Gopinath. We stayed there a few days. He told me the story of how that temple came to be. He worked for many years out of the Bangalore temple, and he was just an itinerant preacher. He would meet people. He would cultivate wealthy people. He would distribute books and travel quite a bit. And in all the years that he was doing that, there was never any quantitative evidence of his preaching. He always had a dream that he would build a temple somewhere and leave a physical legacy for Prabhupada. One time they had a mela, just like the big Kumbh Mela they have once 8 years, 30 million people come to Allahabad. They have smaller melas in other places of India. So there was a mela in the Rajamundry area, Andhra Pradesh. He came from Bangalore. He got some of his wealthy businessman friend to send a few truckloads of dal and spices and rice. He set up a kitchen, a field kitchen right there on the plains, started to feed all the pilgrims. There were other kitchens who were more professionally funded, more professionally manned, and who were local. But he did such a good job, and just winging it, he had no local resources, everything from outside, that the Minister of Finance of Andhra Pradesh took note of the professional way that he did things and arranged to give him 2 acres of land right downtown Rajamundry on the famous Godavari River. But there was one condition. The ISKCON temples that had been given government land in the past tended to take a long time to build the temples. In fact, the ISKCON temple in Tirupati that I just left took them 10 years to build the temple. So this is a little embarrassing for the government when they give land and it takes that long. There was a condition. They said, you have to build the temple very, very quickly. Otherwise, I'll get resistance and there'll be government ministers telling me to take it back. Again, remember, he just came to that area without any resources whatsoever. He didn't know anyone locally. He built that temple in 18 months. The interesting thing is, while the construction of that temple was going on, another wealthy man in Anantapur, 4 hours away, took note of his efficiency, his competence, and he also donated some acres of land right on the main highway in Anantapur. In the middle of the construction of the temple in Rajamundry, Satya Gopinath was driving twice a month to Anantapur and building another temple in Anantapur. While that was all going on, someone else in Pondicherry, just south of them, donated another 3 acres of land. He's building now. His ambition was just to build one temple. Now he's building 3 temples at the same time. And that was 2007. I don't know what he's doing. He's probably working on about 6 or 8 of them now. Here's an example of someone who had a God-given dream, rose up in faith. He took it as his time, his season, and he started acting upon it. Similarly, you may not see a way to come into the greatness that God has planned for you, but if you'll start to conceive it on the inside, you'll receive it on the outside. If you'll prosper in your soul on the inside, then you will also prosper on the outside. If you'll start to feel blessed in your inner spirit, those feelings will spill over onto the outside. Krishnadas Kaviraj lived 500 years ago. He came just shortly after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great devotional incarnation of Krishna. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the planet from Bengal, many, many, many of his followers migrated across to Western India to take up their residence in Vrindavan, where Lord Krishna had manifested his pastimes 5,000 years ago. It's kind of like our Bethlehem. Lord Chaitanya had left the planet, and the community of Vaishnavas there in Vrindavan wanted someone to write the authorized biography of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They came to Krishnadas Kaviraj. They said, would you write this biography of Lord? Would you do this great service to the Vaishnava community and to the world and to future generations? The only problem was, it's true, Krishnadas Kaviraj was an author. He'd written many, many works of devotion. But he was, at that present point in time, over 100 years old. He had palsy. He was nearly blind. And he was deaf. So he wondered, how is it that I will be able to do this great monumental work? Then he recalled a verse, Durgame Pati Meandasha, Shkalapate Gateya Mahu, Sa Kripaya Sanandana, Santu Santu Valambanam. By the mercy of the Lord, a blind man can see stars in the sky. If the Lord wills it, a lame man can climb mountains and run marathons. If the Lord wills it, a mute man can speak volumes and volumes of poetry. He says here, I have now become too old and disturbed by invalidity. While writing, my hands tremble. I cannot remember anything, nor can I see or hear properly. Still I write, and this is a great wonder. The fruits of his effort were no less than the 17-volume classic Chaitanya Charitamrita, the nectarine pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that this man, over 100 years old, completed the greatest literary gem of medieval India under such debilitating conditions, is surely one of the wonders of spiritual literary history. We're here to tell you today that big dreams are inside of each and every one of you. One day you're going to start a temple. One day you're going to own a business. One day you're going to come out of debt. One day you're going to raise beautiful children. Krishna always puts bigger things in our spirit than our mind can handle. Don't talk yourself out of it. Right now, the odds may seem against you. Seems like for some of you, it might even be a waste of time to try. But when there's no reason for hoping in the natural, God-conscious people hope against hope because we serve a supernatural God. I'm not moved by what I see, I'm moved by what I know. Krishna put a promise in my heart. It has my name on it. It already belongs to me. I'm going to do my part and start acting like that dream is true, start talking like that dream is true, start thinking like that dream is true, start planning like that dream is true, start dressing like that dream is true. If you're going to be a successful prospector for gold, you need to know the art of envisioning the gold where it lies underneath the soil. It's already there, but you have to uncover it initially through your vision. Expand your consciousness to all the possibilities when you work in the all-powerful Lord, creator of millions and millions of universes, into the equation. Some things may seem difficult, but in actual fact, they're not. Only thing you have to do is make sure that in your activities, God is first place. Make sure that God is honored. If you do that, hard things will become easy. And that very, very same Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj, he says, in God consciousness, difficult things become easy. Outside of God consciousness, easy things become difficult. Dare to call yourself victorious even before you can see it. Prabhupada says here, our own endeavors can take us to a certain level only, but the ultimate goal will be attained by the mercy of the devotees and the mercy of Krishna. Based on what's inside, learn to call yourself debt-free even though the bills have piled up. Based on what's inside, learn to call yourself well even when you feel sick. Based on what's inside, learn to think of yourself as successful even when business is slow. Based on what's inside, learn to think of yourself as happily married even though you haven't had a date for 5 years. Based on what's inside, talk about being a blessing to the world even when you can barely take care of yourself. Someone says, "True, that's just wishful thinking." No, that's not wishful thinking. That's doing what God does, bringing unseen things which already exist into the realm of the seen. 40 years ago, my wife and I were living in Los Angeles, and we had a dream to come to Utah to start a mission and eventually build a temple. Even our God brothers, our own missionary God brothers, tried to discourage us. The fellow in charge there was from New York. He said, "Charu, you don't want to go to Utah. Utah is small time. Stay here in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is big time. Charu, there's no devotees in Utah. You don't have anyone to help you out. There's a very small Indian community. You won't be able to raise very many funds. Charu, you are out of your mind." Truer words were never spoken. We were out of our minds. We were on the level of dreams. We were on the level of faith, which goes beyond the ability of the mind to comprehend it. But one thing we knew, that seed of building a temple, which at that time was insubstantial, embryonic, wisp, cloud-like, wouldn't go away. It persisted. We were true to it. And last June, we celebrated the 12th anniversary of the founding of this gorgeous, world-class Krishna temple here in Spanish Fork, Utah. Friends, Krishna wants to do something big in your life. It's not going to happen with narrow, limited, small mindsets. I'm asking you today to be bold enough to get what belongs to you. If you'll program your life for victory and believe you are who Krishna says you are, you'll see every promise, every dream, everything that Krishna has put into your heart, it will come to pass in this life, and in the next life, you'll go back home, back to Godhead.